It's time now on the News for the Soul Network for the psychic love doctor, Deborah Lee and Friends. Since 1996, Deborah has done unique, powerful, life-affirming readings with a deck of ordinary playing cards using the personal prophecy card reading method her grandmother taught her many years ago. Call in now for your reading with Deborah today, 646-595-4274. Let's welcome the psychic love doctor back to News for the Soul now.
Well, hello, everyone. Glad to have you with us. Yes, I think we've been gone for a couple of Mondays, but we are back now. We're very happy to be. So welcome. Welcome to all of our News for the Soul callers and fans, and also to our Facebookers. I call them bookers, Facebookers, who are joining us as we are streaming live on Facebook, on the Psychic Love Doctor show page. So please feel free to join us if you'd like to see us in action, that sort of thing. I'd like to remind everyone that we are using ordinary playing cards for the readings that are conducted here during the show. So it's important to bear in mind that this is not tarot, this is not oracle card reading, although Jim will be sharing an oracle card with you at the conclusion of your reading, and it's not any of the other systems that are out there. Personal prophecy, as my grandmother taught it to me, is basically a standalone tool that we can use to perceive the future as it appears in front of us and find ways to successfully navigate, sometimes even very creatively, to meet an alternate end than what is perceived in front of us. What I'm saying by that is, let's say you're in a relationship that's kind of gotten lost in the doldrums. We can look into the cards and intuitively determine, is your partner still, you know, on the same level as you? Are you still both as committed as you should be? What might you do in order to maybe give that relationship a shot in the arm? Or what do you do if you're thinking of possibly taking a step away from it? And the cards will show us in all of these cases what will be successful in terms of creating a new reality for ourselves. So this method is extremely dynamic. It still floors me all these years later to see how much of our lives does come through in an ordinary deck of playing cards. And even things we can't even fathom, such as growing success, a lifetime mate, children, oh my goodness, finding out how our neighbors, coworkers, family members really feel about us. There is so much to be perceived. And I feel honored that my grandmother shared this method with me prior to her passing away, as she did in 1982. So I am considered the only living expert of this method, but I do teach it to others because I think it's important for us all to become empowered, to be able to navigate our futures. And especially as women, we tend to ride a caboose of the train of our life with our husbands, family, children, home obligations, work obligations, you just name it, all running in front of us on that train, when we need to be up in the engine with the engineer helping to plot and take our way. So anyway, I thought it would be important for you to know that. Another question that kind of really comes often is, how quickly can I have a better life? Or it's going to come right up to me, right? I don't have to do a single thing to make it happen. Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but all I can do is share with you the potential that exists in your reading. Now, most people think their potential isn't very big at all. Like you can't see the dimensions, but the studio we're in is not very big, okay? And that, I think, would represent ordinary potential for most of us. But yet, there's extraordinary potential for all of us. And by that, I mean it's only as big as you can dream it, believe it, and make it. So when the cards reveal to you potential in a new job, in a new love relationship, in, say, estranged family members or friends getting back together, the potential is there, yet you may still have to put some effort into bringing it to you for it to actually become reality. For instance, I don't think that magical man or woman that you fantasize about is going to come roaring up on a, oh, let's say, a brand new Mustang. No, I think you might have to expand your social circle a little bit. You may have to go and join, say, volunteer organizations, and the cards will guide you on that. When it comes to a better job, you'd be amazed how many times I have clients who come to me and for their private sessions, and they tell me, I feel really wasted here, my talent, my skills, et cetera, and then, uh-oh, what happens? Soon down the road, they find the company is downsizing and people, good people, are being let go. Now, you can remain at the mercy of the company's decision, let's say. You can remain there until you literally are forced out to pound the pavement for another job. Or you can take that opportunity, the potential that exists within that opportunity, and you can go.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to News for the Soul. This is Daniel Brinkley.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
From the heart of Vancouver, what a great place to bring News for the Soul.
I know, isn't it perfect? Remember that movie Dead Zone, Christopher Walken?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like it was like that for real.
I think reasonably accurate, too, honey.
Oh, that's an understatement, honey.
We should have the Psychic Love Doctor back on the line momentarily. Please stand by, stay on the lines. We're working on it. Some really super weird paranormal stuff's happening. It's one of those days. So stand by.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
News for the Soul phone lines are now open. Call in now for a free intuitive reading on the air. Dial 646-595-4274. That's 646-595-4274.
Yeah, man. We all love to hear the good news. So we all should rush to hear the good news. Right. But we can just find the good news.
NSTN. NSTN. News for the soul at the very best. NSTN. NSTN. News for the soul at the very best. NSTN. NSTN. News for the soul at the very best.
Yeah, man. Just log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Can you hear me?
We are a life-changing talk radio. We give you good news to keep you on the go. And you can also share the good news, you know. And that's the way we keep in the flow. Wah! We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We not go put none of the negative in there.
we not go put none of the negative in there. NFTS, NFTS. News for the soul at the very best. NFTS, NFTS. News for the soul at the very best. Log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Every time. Come hear the good news. Share the good news. And we all feeling good for the good news.
Super weird paranormal energy interfering with us today. Stay on the line. We're waiting. Oh, wow. Echo. We're waiting for the psychic love doctor to get back on the line. I was telling him I felt something coming, and boom, here it is. So just hang in there. They're still trying to redial or reboot or reset her. I don't know. Stand by. As soon as they're there, we'll open the lines for questions.
Yeah, man, we all love to hear the good news, so we all should rush to hear the good news. But we can just find the good news. NFTS, NFTS, news for the soul at the very best. NFTS, NFTS, news for the soul at the very best. NFTS, NFTS. News for the soul at the very best. Yeah, man. Just log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Can you hear me? We are a life-changing talk radio. We give you good news to keep you on the go.
Okay. We're going to try this one while I'm still here, monitoring the lines and the paranormal events. Have we got you back on the line and back on the board?
All right, let's continue on, Miss Deborah. We're back. Folks are wondering what the heck happened. Well, my computer is what happened.
Yeah.
It kaputed on my end. It does
that
sometimes.
Well, there was a lot
well.
Happening besides that. But 520 is holding for you when you're ready. Have fun.
All right. 520.
Yep. All right. Well, let's do our intro. Blog Talkers, we apologize for the us leaving for a long, long time. You got most of your intro in, but I did not get mine.
Your what?
My intro. I want to remind you folks, this show is for international and educational purposes only. You did. Well, no, you didn't do anything wrong. We weren't talking to them. Remember, we had problems. So if you're international, let us know, and we'll give you live shout-outs. We do it all the time. Like to Laura in Canada. She's here with us now up in Canada. Oh, Canada. All right. Important things. Things are important, right? Right, you bloody. Oh, here's something that's really important, getting rid of a scammer.
Yeah.
That's nice. What an opportune time for them to come right at the beginning of the show. I love them long time. No.
No, okay. Maybe you should continue.
That's weird. It wouldn't let me block them, but I was hid their comment. That's a very odd thing. Yes. We have no bananas. We have no bananas today. I'll block them this way.
All righty. I'm ready when you are.
It's hard, Deb, but I'm doing this.
To all of you, thank you for bearing with us as Jim gets his...
get my stuff together. We do have we have some callers on hold. Bear with us, callers. We're coming back to life. We are indeed... believe it or not. Anyway, it's News for the Soul. We have been here at the Monday show. We're going to call in here. And that number is right in front of me.
And it is.
It is as slow as Microsoft Word is loading is how slow it is. That frickety, frickety, frack, frickety. Look at that.
I think it's 646.
I believe it's 646-595-4274.
Sounds good to me.
Let's see if that's if I have spoken. It is 646-595-4274. That's the number to call in to get your free reading. You'll hear a message that says everything's lovely. Then you can listen to the show while you wait. And you can indeed listen to the show while you wait. Facebookers, we don't know what's going to happen. We know nothing. If things work out, we'll talk to you. I mean, not talk to you, but we'll do a reading for you. Usually it's a call-in show, typically. Call them, and they have emails, too, in case there's problems with that. So we'll just see what happens there. But when you hear the harps, that is time for that reading to end, and we're going to move on to the next person. But quickly, We're going to give you a great oracle card. It is the Archangel Michael Sword of Light oracle card. I shall give you a single card, and then we shall move on to the card. So please, when you hear the harps, be cool. Love it. Long time. Today is National Laundry Day.
What kind of day?
Laundry.
Oh, boy. That excites me.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do, you know? And it's also Titanic Remembrance Day, because on this day many years ago, it did not float. So what are you going to do, right? Right, yes, folks, take care of those scammers. Do them, let them have no fun at all. All right. Let's go to our first area code. Let's go to, let's do 360. You're the first caller. And that is out in Washington, the state of Washington, I believe. 360. Hello?
Hello there. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Hi. I think not.
Nobody knows. Shall we?
And here we are, as my grandmother used to say. Silence reigned, and we all got wet.
Hello, caller 630, negative, or 360, my bad. That's 360, yeah.
No, we're not getting anything.
Well, right.
Aside from dead air.
We are having some dead air. What else was it? I could tell you it was a national, like, honey glazed ham day, too.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
That's nice.
Yeah, with some potato salad. Well, Jim, what do you suggest?
I suggest Nicole give us a call. Surprise us. That one is not available, or there's technical issues.
Yes.
Or she has emails, too. You can give us Start us off with the email if you want until you get the caller thing straightened out. I guess we can do 520. Are you here, 520? Wow, it is Lisa. We're not shooting out of the starting block. We're crawling.
Hello there.
Hello there.
How
is that
are
we
you?
We got a human, a live human is with us.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to talk with you all. And I just have a question, please.
All right.
Ask away.
I have been very, very busy with my own, to use the Jimbo word, project work.
Project person, boy.
Running around, getting things done. And hopefully that project will conclude in happiness. It has to do with selling this property. So anyway, let's see. Oh, and I've been going to events. Everything's a blur. I can't remember. What did I do yesterday? I don't even know what
today.
I did yesterday.
Today was Sunday.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen El Neighbor. I mean, he's been gone all day. I mean, all day. He comes home late at night. He'll come home and then run out. And he comes home late at night. And then I stay out in nature and come home. And I what else have I done? Gosh, I can't remember what I've done. I've been busy. I've been meeting with business people and stuff like that. So I did talked to him. He waved at me as he was coming in this morning. I had to leave, and I drove up to him and I said, "Hi, I haven't seen you." And he acted surprised that I would say anything to him. And I said, "Is everything okay?" And he said, "Yeah." He was very surprised that I would ask him. So I don't know, Deb, what do the cards foretell?
All right. Well, we're going to take a look right now. Jim's going to give her jabber a little bit so we don't have more dead air.
Dead air?
Yes, go ahead. I was waiting for you to pick up my call. He all of a sudden made an appearance. I'm not in the laundry room. He made an appearance, and he's hollering and yelling into the phone. And, you know, he usually does that when he's trying to get my attention, just really loud, all of a sudden out of the blue, after, you know, just 2 days of non-contact.
So a knock on the door doesn't quite cut it for him? Or a text
message? He was talking to somebody on the phone. He's got these weird smoke signals. I don't know.
He doesn't just walk up and do that, whatever. That's not his shtick. His shtick is to get her attention. Maybe so she'll initiate some kind of interaction.
Exactly. And that seems, after all this time, that really seems like a big part of his personality. If you think about it, that's still control.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It is very odd.
You know, and I did leave the party with a guy. He wasn't my date or anything. He was just handy for me to ask if he would help me out to the car. And we were leaning into each other, arms hooked into each other, and leaning into him because I really needed help walking to the car. It was uneven ground. He was carrying my – and then I didn't realize – which didn't matter to me. The neighbor was behind me, and I could hear him all of a sudden start yelling for a mutual guy friend. He was trying to get his attention. Whatever. That might have thrown him. I have no idea. I have no idea.
Well, you know, what you did there is a classic exit to, all right, you know, when you're at a party and you'd like to, and of course, I understand for you, it was simply a convenient thing for him, that man, to help you. But to others, you know, remember, appearances can be extremely deceiving. And
yeah.
I wouldn't, there's a little juicy rumor circulating that you left with another man.
Well, and then the other thing is, too, lately what's been going on is sometimes he and I will stand, we'll just stand, and we stare at each other. We just stare at each other. We can be in the carport, the driveway, and we just stare at each other, and there's no talking. We just stare at each other.
That's very Twilight Zone-like.
And then in the party, when it was ending, he was staring at me, and I was staring at him. And I just kind of waved my finger a little bit in the air. I don't know what I meant by that. And then we just kept staring, and then he kind of moseyed on by. I mean, I could have asked him for his help. I didn't. And then I asked that other guy.
Okay. Well, all right, I'm just going to fire away, all right?
Fire away.
Yeah, we're just going to fire away here with your cards. Now, folks out there, I want you to be aware, those of you that may not be familiar, but Lisa has been lovely and open as a case study for that, so that others could get to know somebody on a very frequent basis, and we could follow along with her life and see what the cards have in store for her in the way of...
News for the Soul phone lines are now open. Call in now for a free intuitive reading on the air. Dial 646-595-4274. That's 646-595-4274.
Yeah, man, we all love to hear the good news, so we all should rush to hear the good news. Right. But we cannot find the good news.
NSTN, NSTN, news for the soul at the very best. NSTN, NSTN, news for the soul at the very best. NSTN, NSTN, news for the soul at the very best.
Yeah, man, just log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Can you hear me?
We are a life-changing talk radio. We give you good news to keep you on the go. And you can also share the good news, you know. And that's the way we keep in the flow. We only focus on the positive things, yeah.
We only focus on the positive things, yeah. We not go put none of the negative in there. We not go put none of the negative in there. NFTN, NFTN. News for the soul at the very best. NFTN, NFTN. News for the soul at the very best. Log on to www.newsforthesoul.com. Every time, come hear the good news, share the good news. And we all feeling good for the good news.
Alrighty then. You know, it's funny, I had messaged Jim before the show and was sensing that weird stuff was afoot. And that's often the case, so we keep going. No problem. However, today, I don't think we're carrying on. So, 520, I'll call in next time, next Monday early, and we can get the completion of your reading and wherever you were going with that. For everyone else, we're just going to go into some higher vibe replays to reset the energy, because something's just weird today. So stay tuned to that. If you're confused, you're not on Blog Talk Radio, you're not on all the other 8 billion places we re-air. This is newsforthesoul.com. Newsforthesoul.com. Here's a good one. Here's a replay of a physicist trying to teleport into my studio live while we're on air. Fun, fun, fun.
Get ready. It's time for News for the Soul. Life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Join us as we celebrate 11 years of empowerment broadcasts, becoming the number one life-changing talk radio show in the world, according to Google, AOL, MSN, YouTube, and more, and home to the largest, totally free transformational audio library in the world. All found at newsofthesoul.com. And now, here's your host and the founder of News of the Soul, the one they're calling the Oprah of the Internet, Nicole Whitney.
Good afternoon. We're live again, day 15 of our marathon, celebrating 11 years of News for the Soul. I'm Nicole Whitney, and this is News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's especially unexplained today because, well, we're going to be explaining it. Well, I won't be, but physicist Tom Campbell will be. He's my guest this hour, this day, and we're going to have some fun live on the air, hopefully. Physicist Tom Campbell, author of the great book trilogy, My Big Toe, as in T-O-E, as in Theory of Everything. And let's get started. He is one of our special regulars. Actually, you know what? We've got to do a couple of business things just to get it out of the way. As you know, probably by now, if you've been tuning in on our anniversary specials, there are no commercial breaks. We go straight through a bit of a different format in a variety of ways, including that we just have a single special sponsor of the day to tell you about, also that we have giveaways every day. So to qualify for the free giveaway, email me, nicole@newsforthesoul.com, and put I am a winner in the subject line, so you'll be able to qualify for, oh, that's good, here goes my voice again. I think this has happened at the start of every show. All right, not sure what that means, but nicole@newsforthesoul.com, I am a winner in the subject line, you'll enter in the draw, and we'll be announcing that at the end of everything. And our special sponsor of the day that I want to tell you about, beyondtechniques.net is the website. And here's a little bit, oh boy, it's going from bad to worse, isn't it? You know, I really, really am so tempted to go back on the coffee. I've been trying to quit for 2.5 weeks. It's not going well, people. Time to remove those training wheels and get fully aligned with the 2012 shift. Beyond Techniques, the 2012 shift, evolving from light worker to light itself, by Lisa Marie Gutowski. And hopefully I pronounced that right, Lisa. She's a great resource to move from doing to simply being. A truly unique book, Beyond Techniques, empowers seekers through this human conscious evolution by easing their way past the ego, erasing subconscious scripts, moving into full source connection, which is kind of what we're all looking for in some way or another. And various ways. One touch healing, one thought manifesting. These are things that she covers there. See this and more at beyondtechniques.net. So that's our sponsor for the day. Thank you, Lisa, for partaking in our special anniversary show. Let's see if Tom Campbell's on the line and ready to start our always intriguing discussions. Tom, are you there?
I'm here, Nicole.
Oh, Tom, welcome back to News for the Soul. It's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah, it's great to be here. We're going to have fun tonight, I think.
I think so. Well, we always do. And tell me, what's, you know, I know you've been traveling and doing a lot of lecturing and speaking and stuff. What's new lately for you?
Well, last February I was in London, did a series of lectures there. And then this past fall I did some lectures in Austin, Texas. And what's coming up on the boards looks like we're going to be probably summer to fall, we're probably going to be in Canada. At least that's in the process now. And we're definitely going to be back in London again.
Wow.
I might have one in this spring in South Africa, but not too sure of that. That's just still in the firming up stages. So, yes, I've been getting around the world a bit. It's been very nice.
So are you finding that people are getting what you're talking about? Are they getting it? Are they there? Are they really enthusiastically awakening? Are you seeing a change?
Well, you know, you can get this on a lot of different levels. And people get it on the level at which they kind of are capable of getting it at the time. And that's a lot of different levels. So everybody doesn't get it in the same way. It depends on the individual and where they are in their understanding of the bigger picture, the beliefs they have, the expectations, the investment they have in things being a certain way. A lot of beliefs get broken when you get into my work. There's many things about it that require you to discard old beliefs and see things in a bigger, broader pattern. So, yes, people are getting it, but exactly how they're getting it and at what level, that's really hard to tell. Some of them get it almost the whole way, and most get it about halfway, and there's a fair amount that just get it a little bit. But we're making progress. Yes, it gets better. The more people get exposed to it, you know, the more they understand. I find people tell me all the time that, I read your book the first time and thought I understood all of it. And then about 3 months later, I read it again and didn't think I'd ever seen it before. You know, it's like I was reading it for the first time. And then they'll read it a third time and say, well, gee, there was so much in it on the third time that I never got the first two times. That's because every time you read it, you grow some, you learn some, you change, you're a different person. You take some time to integrate that, and then when you read it again, gosh, there's all kinds of things there that just didn't seem to be there before. So, yes, people are getting it, but as they will.
And I'm curious if you're able to, if anyone's ever asked you this, if you can sum up the true nature of what you've discovered about our reality, our world, our existence, in, you know, just a few sentences.
Well, how about in... three words or less. That would be good.
Okay.
I was asked this in Austin, a radio station. Person there said, well, you know, Einstein summed up all of his, understanding in just, E equals MC squared. Do you have anything that's succinct, you know, that you can share with us? And I thought about it for a moment, and basically to boil it down to the fewest words is reality is information. Reality is information, and consciousness is reality. So that's kind of the heart of it.
So what does that really mean?
Well, what that means is that, that has a lot of logical, you follow that logically, and you end up with a lot of conclusions. One is that this reality that we are in is a virtual reality. We're living in a virtual life. This physical reality is not primary and it's not fundamental. Consciousness is the fundamental reality. And consciousness is information and it's digital. The simplest expression of information is a bit, you know, an on or an off, a one or a zero. And the simplest form of bits is binary. So if we get down to the very simplest description that we can of reality, we find it's information. When I look at our reality and this physical reality, you know, it's just digital information. And we all know that because what is it? It's our senses, right? It's light. Well, the light comes into our eyes, gets focused on the retina, and then what happens? It gets turned into digital information. It gets turned into little electrical, discrete electrical signals. Discrete, that's what I mean by digital. Those electrical signals then move along the nervous system. You get neurons that move, then you get patterns of neurons. So that information that was, you know, what we think's real, what we're looking at, what we see, as soon as it gets to our bodies, basically, it gets converted into digital information. Now, same with the smell and hearing and all of the senses we have, which basically define our reality. That's how we see that this world is real. We see it through our senses, and that sense data, as soon as it gets to us, is all turned into digital information. So thinking that reality is digital information, you know, shouldn't be that large a conceptual jump. Now, if you could, let's say, have a virtual reality game or a virtual reality creator, you know, we have these things. You know, before pilots fly real planes, they get in simulators and they fly pretend planes. And these simulators are very realistic, so they can give them they can run these pilots through all sorts of emergency procedures that you would never want to do in a real plane, like you're at 10,000 feet and your engines quit. Now, you don't want to do that in a real plane because not only might you kill yourself, but you might destroy a $200 million plane. So they do all that sort of thing in simulators. A simulator is just a virtual reality generator. But now think if we had a virtual reality generator that could put little electrical pulses into our optic nerve and into our auditory nerves and so on, so that we would see and hear and smell and touch things. It would just put those signals into our nervous system, just like those signals get in there from our senses. Could we tell the difference? No. It would create the same reality we have here. So how can you tell the difference between a virtual reality that's putting digital information into your nervous system as opposed to your senses putting digital information into your nervous system? Well, you can't. There is no difference. So that gets us into the conclusion that, you know, Descartes came to this conclusion, a century or so ago with the I think, therefore I am. Well, he started with the idea, what can we depend on? What do we know for sure? And he went through all the obvious things and finally ended up with the conclusion that the only thing you really know for sure is that you're conscious. You think, therefore you am. That's the summation.
So if everything is information, everything is coming to us as information, what are we?
What are we? We are individuated units of consciousness. We're a little subset, a little clump, a little organization of consciousness. And that means we are data. We have data that represents all of the things that we've ever seen, heard, smelled, you know, and not only this lifetime, but any other lifetime. So all of our experience is with data. Now we have memory, you know, data storage. We have feedback loops so that we can learn. We can look at the data coming in and process on it and then decide whether our free will actions that were taken based on that data were good ones or not good ones, and then we can change them. So it's a self-modifying subset of information is what we are as individuals. All of our history, all of our experiences are all there. They make up us. So we're a subset of information. And what we're doing here, our point, is to grow, you know, to grow up, to evolve. Consciousness, this larger consciousness system that has all these individuated consciousnesses in it that are just a part of that system, you know, we're all part of the one. We're all netted together in this consciousness network. And the point is to evolve. This is a real finite system. It's evolving too. It's not just that we're evolving, but the whole consciousness system is evolving. We're part of a living, growing, evolving thing here. And in the books, I describe this in terms of entropy. Entropy is a measure of disorder, a measure of an ability to have an effect. And you increase your ability to have an effect by growing up, by learning, by growing, by becoming more spiritual, having a higher quality of consciousness. You, all these things amount to the same thing. And you do that by decreasing the entropy of your own subset, which means you organize the bits at your disposal into a more profitable configuration. So that's kind of the big picture of consciousness, reality, and who and what we are, and what we're all about. We're about growing up, about becoming love. Now, what's love? Love is the nature of a low entropy consciousness. So as we grow, as we become more spiritual, as we evolve and increase the quality of our consciousness, we become more love-like. Not that we become more loving, we do that too, but we as a individual entity just express love as our entropy decreases, as we become more, more evolved as beings. I just kind of overdone it here.
No, it's a perfect introduction for what we're planning today. I just I want to work on something here. We've got a bit of a weird, I don't know if you can hear it or if they can hear it, but I've got some kind of weird sound interference on the line. So can you just stand by for 2 minutes and we're just going to work on clearing that up?
Okay, I can tell you that my end is perfectly clear.
Okay, well, stand by. I'm just going to try to get this sorted here. Just give me 2 minutes, and I'll be right back with you, Tom. We're talking to Tom Campbell, physicist and author of My Big Toe Trilogy, Theory of Everything, and you're not going to want to miss anything that happens today. We're going to see if we can experiment with what we are. Stand by, everybody. Okay, let's see if that's any better. And I don't think I've got Tom on yet. Let's see.
Yeah,
okay, Tom, we're back.
Okay,
I think we've got.
To me still.
Okay, good, excellent. Yeah, let me know if you hear anything. I'm just being vigilant because we have extra equipment set up for our experiment that we're going to tell them about in a little bit here. So I think we were just getting a bit of line buzzing or something from that. Okay, so tell me about. Let's get into the topic of the. We discussed teleporting and limits of what you could do, once you became aware of what.
All right. I kind of have a few things planned today. One, I wanted to do a little audience participation, if you think that's good. We'll get your audience involved in this.
I think that's excellent. Yeah, let's
and
do it.
What I'd like to do is teach your audience how to diagnose illness and then how to heal that illness.
Okay.
A little experiment worked up for that. Then I thought we'd do a little remote viewing with the audience. And then at the end, I know this is one of your heart sets. It's been since we first talked, I think, a year or two ago, this teleportation experiment. So we're going to do that as well. So I thought we could do all of those. I think we have time to do them all and still talk a little bit about what it all means and, how it works. And my point in doing these experiments isn't to, wow anybody with the experiments. That's not it. The experiments may or may not work. The point is that they will be good learning points. You'll learn a lot, and it will give your audience a way of doing their own experiments. Once we go through this process, they'll see how they can repeat this process many times and collect their own evidence. So this will give them some way that they can start on their own process of experiencing the larger reality. And the diagnosing and healing, we're actually going to do a little time shifting as well, and the remote viewing. These things are not as hard to do as most people think. We tend to make them hard to do by our beliefs and our expectations. And once we get ourselves out of the way, once we can get that intellect to be quiet, and once we get ourselves out of the way and get our beliefs down and our fears down, then all this stuff really is not hard. It's natural. It's as natural as breathing. You basically just have to get out of the way. And what does all this have to do with what we started with about, you know, reality is information and so on? Well, once you understand the basic nature of reality, then you understand how all these paranormal things work. You understand, you know, what's going on and how you can interact with them. You understand what your point is. You're able to visit, go traveling in this larger reality. It just opens up a whole lot of things. And this view of consciousness being the fundamental reality, it unifies physics, because what comes out of this, now we're not going to get into that kind of detail, but part of what comes out of this is an explanation of quantum mechanics, an explanation of the double slit experiment, which scientists, you know, your mainstream scientists still scratching their heads about that. Well, a logical explanation of why that is, why that has to be the way it is, comes right out of this same theory. So it's integrating metaphysics and physics. It will explain theology and, to some extent, psychology. And things just tend to fall into place. People who have read, say, Eastern mysticism for years, and then after they read the My Big Toe, suddenly it all makes sense to them because it comes into a context, a logical context, that they can understand it. It's not quite so much poetry and description as it is logic and science. So it is a kind of a, you know, it's a theory of everything, and it has to explain everything, and that means the normal as well as the paranormal, you know, the you know, metaphysical as well as the physical. So that's mm-hmm. the basis where we are. And since we started with the theory, I just have one little thing I'll add to it, and then if you don't mind, we'll just get right into the audience participation. Start.
It's perfect.
Start with that. Okay. Well, the one, you know, since we started with the theory, we said that you know, consciousness is information. Consciousness is a fundamental reality. We should also say that everybody's reality is individual. You are an individual person with an individual consciousness, and your reality is individual. Okay, information must be interpreted, and that interpretation is personal and subjective. It has to be both, because this is your interpretation from your consciousness. So everything that makes up our reality really has to be personal and subjective. Okay, the concept of objectivity that we talk about here in our physical reality is a, what can we say, is a hallucination. It's an approximation. There is no objective reality. Well, why do we think this physical reality is objective? And we say, well, you have to do objective science and you need to, you know, get objective results. Well, if it's all information, and as I mentioned, it's the information you take through your senses, which turns into digital information in your brain and in your nervous system, and we have to interpret that information, then what's objective about it? It's subjective because we have to interpret it. Why do we think it's objective? Because we all tend to interpret it about the same way. And why do we do that? Well, we do that because our sensory apparatus, you know, our sight and hearing and so on, between people is all very similar. We all hear about the same things. We all see about the same things. So we all agree on what we see and hear because we're all taking in basically the same data. So that tends to make the world look very consistent and objective. But actually, we know that's not true. If you have five people standing on the same street corner and they observe an accident, you'll get five different accident reports. That's, you know, that's kind of infamous that witnesses differ who witness the very same thing, and that's because we all interpret what we witness. There are facts, yes, but each individual lives in their own reality and interprets that reality in a way that's based on their own history, their own database. You know, what they've experienced is how you have to interpret that. So if we get into a realm where we're not all sensing in the same way, like a realm where we're communicating telepathically, where we're just sharing data back and forth, it's not through our senses, it's just chunks of data like paragraphs and chapters at a time, well, then we don't all interpret it the same way. So that's why here in the physical it seems like everything's buttoned down and very tight, because we all interpret mostly what we see the same way. Now, what if we're in different cultures? If we're in different cultures, we can interpret things very, very differently. But if we're in the same culture, then we all pretty much agree. Now, how do we describe these things that we see? When we are interpreting this information that we see with our eyes, we interpret it in terms of metaphors and symbols. Language is just metaphors and symbols. Okay, so I want to get that kind of basic understanding down, that metaphors and symbols are an imperfect process. They're not objective, and they are subjective. So when we start doing these diagnosing and healing, everybody will have their own view of it, and that's as it should be. There is no one right answer. There's a lot of different people who are observing and interpreting in their own way. But we can develop ways of doing this that make us all effective, and that's what we're gonna do next. Okay?
Okay. So
all
where do
right.
we start?
Well, let's start. I hope we have a bunch of people out there who are listening, who have a way that they can work with us. You know, what we're going to be doing now is going to require you to, let's do diagnosing first. You should find a quiet spot where you can still hear this broadcast. You don't have to meditate. That's not necessary that you go into a meditation state. It is necessary that you aren't bothered by things and you're not doing something. So if you happen to be preparing a meal, then that's not going to work too well, because that's going to be distracting to you. But if you can sit down someplace and close your eyes, that helps. Closing the eyes just shuts out a lot of data that competes for your attention. Now, if you're out there driving a car, please don't shut your eyes. You know, that would be a bad thing to do. So for those of you who can safely find a quiet spot and kind of close your eyes, then let's go ahead with those and see what we can do. First of all, attitude is very important. Okay, no expectations, no beliefs, just do it and observe. Okay? You know, that's important. No judgments, no second guessing, no analyzing, no trying to listen to what I'm saying and try to guess at the right answer. We all have this sense. I think we pick it up in kindergarten and all the way through college. We pick up this idea that we need to get the right answer. You know, we get points for getting the right answer. So as you hear information, you hear data, everybody immediately starts processing and guessing at where's this going, what's the right answer, you know, what am I supposed to get? And that just gets in the way and interferes. That will destroy the process. So no expectations, no beliefs, just do it. I'm going to give you instructions. Just do it and observe what happens. There's no, there's nothing in particular that you should expect. I'm not going to give you enough information that you could guess anyway. So if you think you could guess, you're just going to confuse yourself. Okay, now, to begin with, imagine a vanilla or white gingerbread cookie. Can you see that in your mind, this gingerbread cookie? Okay, now you don't need to see it in high resolution. This is not a photograph. Just see it or feel it, just kind of know it's there. So what you're seeing is kind of a humanoid form. It's got a head, a neck, an upper body, arms, hands, lower body, legs, feet, and that's about it. It doesn't have a little happy face on it. You know, it doesn't have little eyes or anything. It's just a humanoid outline figure. So just see that and see it as a light vanilla gingerbread cookie kind of thing. Okay? Now, let it go to where you're not seeing it. All right, now bring it back. See it again. Vague is okay. Okay, now, I just want you to kind of get used to being able to see that that humanoid outline when you want to. So let it go again. Let that go. So now it's just blank. You're not looking at anything. Okay, now, I want you to intend. Intent is very important in this process. I want you to intend that this humanoid shape is my friend Dan. Okay? And it's my friend Dan today, right now as Dan is today. But just that's an intention. See, all right? Let's bring that humanoid shape back up again and say, now this humanoid shape represents Dan. Tom's friend Dan. Now, that's all you need to know. You don't need to know. You don't have to have a lock of his hair or see his picture or all that stuff is unnecessary. It's just Tom's friend Dan will do because that is a unique address. Okay, now, the next thing I want you to intend is that anything or any area that's not healthy or fit is dark. And the more unhealthy it is, the darker it is. Okay, now this dark stuff, if there's anything in Dan that's unhealthy, the dark stuff should contrast pretty well with the light, healthy background of this vanilla cookie image. Okay, so we have a kind of a white cookie, and we're intending that this cookie represents Dan's health, and we're intending that if there's anything about Dan's health that isn't really good, we will see that as dark color on this white cookie background. All right. Now, let's look at Dan the Cookie Man and see if you see any dark spots. Okay, now just kind of scan the cookie. Do you see any dark spots? Do you see, you know, look at the head, look at the neck, look at the upper body, look at the arms, look at the hands, look at the lower body, look at the legs, look at the feet. Okay, now I'm taking you through this quickly, but that's all right. Quicker is better. Now, remember what you saw. Okay, you looked at the cookie, you looked at all the parts of the body, and it was white. Anything that was wrong with Dan, you saw in dark. Now, if it's just, let's say Dan just had a head cold, you'd probably see kind of just a cloudy light gray around the head. If Dan had a tumor somewhere, then you would see probably like a lump of coal. So that's what I mean by various shades of black. All right. Now, we're going to do one more thing that's going to teach you something, and that is, let's switch the colors. Okay, we're going to switch black and white. Now look at Dan again, but now intend that anything that is good and healthy about Dan is black. So now you're looking at a black cookie, and anything that is healthy about Dan is white. So you should see a bright white spot, like a white light showing up on any parts of his body. You know, again, we want to look at the, you know, the head, the upper body, the arms, the hands, the fingers, the lower body, the legs, okay, the feet, all of Dan. We just scan all over this cookie and see, and it's a black cookie now, and anything that is healthy is black, and anything that's going to be unhealthy we see as a spot of white. Now, it really doesn't make any difference whether we do black on white or white on black. It's our intent that matters. Okay, now I'm going to give you just a few seconds to kind of catch up. I've been talking quickly. So go ahead and do those things that I've told you. Kind of look at it and check it and make sure you get the same answer twice and three times. Okay. Now, the next thing we want to do is let's time shift. Okay, now you're looking at Dan the Cookie Man and intend that this cookie now represents Dan's health energy on January the 7th. That's a couple of weeks ago. January the 7th, about 2.5 weeks ago. So now look again. Do the same thing that we always did. You can intend again, if you like, that the white is healthy and good and the dark is unhealthy. That's more typical, but you can switch that. You just have to make sure your intention is clear. Don't confuse yourself that you go in and look and you haven't really intended which way it is. Purposely intend how you want the colors to, what do you want the colors to represent. Say Dan now is 2.5 weeks ago on January the 7th. Now look at him again and see if there's any difference. Do you see any difference in Dan? Head, neck, upper body, arms, hands, fingers, lower body, legs, feet, toes. What you get. Okay, now switch back with your intent to intend that Dan is again, you're looking at energy of Dan's that represents the way he is today. Look at that. See any differences? Look back at the way he was on the January the 7th. See if you can tell any differences. Okay, now I give you just about another 20 seconds or so just to kind of do this on your own. I've been going a little fast, so just work this in your mind now while you're sitting there. No guessing, no intellect, just look and observe. Now, if you don't see and you feel instead, that's fine. You can feel the light, feel the dark, feel the shape. Feeling is good, as well as seeing. All right. Now, I think everybody's done that. That is diagnosing, and that's really all you need to do to diagnose. And you can diagnose people. You need to practice. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit later just exactly, you know, what Dan's problem is, and you'll see whether or not you got it right or not. But for now, just kind of bear with me. And we've now diagnosed Dan. You can go talk to people, a friend of yours, and say, friend of mine, do you know somebody who has an illness? And if you do, don't tell me what it is, but just write their first name down and give it to me and let me practice this. If you practice this 50 times before you start getting judgmental, you will begin to see, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, what that difference is, what your mindset was like, how focused were you. You'll get better at it. You maybe not be too good at it your first try, but you can get to where you can do this and are right 80-90% of the time if you practice. Okay, I take it everybody's probably caught up to me. Now, let's heal Dan. So you've learned how to diagnose, and it has to do with your intent. Now, let's look at how to heal Dan. Okay, so let's all use the same, so we don't confuse ourselves, let's all use the same intention that light is good and dark is unhealthy. So let's use that model. Okay, so let's look at Dan as represented by the cookie humanoid shape. So that cookie now represents Dan's health energy. Okay, now remember where you saw the dark areas. Look at those dark areas, if you found any, and intend for those dark spots to turn white. Just intend, just look at them and see that they turn white. If you will, make them turn white. Make them turn bright white. Very, very bright white. Just so, a white so bright that it's hard for you to actually look at it. You have to squint because it's so bright. Now, you can just make it turn bright like that, or you can use tools. You can make up tools. All tools are is things that help you focus your intent. So you can make a laser tool, something that shines out a bright beam of intense light, and you can shine that on the dark spot. The light is a tool. It's not anything fundamental. You can use a torch and burn that dark spot. You can use a vacuum cleaner and suck up that black spot. Do all kinds of things. But those are just tools that you invent that help you focus your intent. Or you can just intend it to be bright white. Now see it bright white, then relax a bit and see if it goes back to dark. If it does, turn it back white again and make it stay that way. Intend that it stays just bright, iridescent, glowing white wherever you saw dark. So now that whole cookie ought to be white. It ought to be white, and those problem areas ought to be even whiter. Okay? Now intend that white be there permanently. That's a permanent white. All right. I'll give you just a few seconds to kind of catch up and do that. Okay, now, if this was a friend of yours or somebody you were trying to heal, you would do just what we've done. First, you'd go in and do the diagnosis. Then you'd go in and do the healing. And then you'd keep after it. Two or three or four times a day, you just kind of bring up an image of that person and make those spots just as white as you can get them, just as bright, sort of like molten steel being poured into a big ladle, that kind of a white that has its own light in it. You would do this several times a day, and it shouldn't take you more than 20 seconds to do it. You don't have to go cross your legs and do om and go into a meditation state. Just think of the gingerbread cookie, think what it represents, intend what you're going to do, do it, and let it go. 30 seconds, you can do this. And if you will do this, like I say, 3-4 times a day, and if you keep this up for a couple of weeks, I'll give you about a 90% chance that you will affect Dan's health or whoever it is that you're working on. You will have an effect. Now, you won't know immediately whether you've had an effect or not, because one data point proves nothing. You don't know whether that person just got better, you know, because of what you did or because they just would have gotten better anyway, but you have to do it over and over again. I say, do this 50 times and you'll begin to understand what you're doing and what you're not doing, and you'll begin to learn from it. Okay, I give you a, I don't know if you have trouble working while I talk, hope not. Give you maybe a few seconds of silence. Actually, it's better if you hear me talk, because if I leave you alone in too much silence, your mind tends to wander, and you tend to start to analyze and do other things. My talking is actually part of the trick that keeps you focused on what you're doing. It's better to listen to me talk than it is for you to start operating inside your head. Okay, now, on the 7th of January, here's the results, and you can see what you saw. On the 7th of January, Dan told me that he broke or smashed his finger. Now, those of you out there that saw dark spot on this gingerbread cookie's finger, you know, you need to write an email to Nicole and tell her that you got it. And those of you who didn't, who saw it someplace else, now what does that mean? Does that mean you were wrong, that you just got it wrong? Well, maybe. Maybe it means that you were making it up, that you were actually operating. You couldn't follow the directions to not be thinking about it or operating or guessing. But maybe, you know, you saw something that Dan doesn't know about. So you should have gone ahead and healed it anyway. You won't really get evidence from this other than the fact that if you did indeed see that spot on Dan's finger, you won't get evidence from this so much as you will when you do it over and over and over again. Okay, again, this is just to give you the idea of how to do it. Okay, he broke or strained his finger. Now, when you compared it with the January 7th with today, what did you find? Did you find it any different? Now, you could have guessed that, well, whatever he had, it got better, or whatever he had, it got worse, but fact is, it didn't either. It stayed the same. So the answer there was it should have looked about the same when you looked at it on January the 5th as it looked, January the 7th as you looked at it today. You shouldn't have seen a lot of difference in it. Now, what about that time shift when we intended that that cookie represented Dan on January the 7th? We could intend that and then heal that. We can actually heal people at the time that they got the injury and be very effective with it rather than only dealing with individuals in the present. So time, one of the things you should learn from this is that time is a variable. Okay? So there's another question people ask. Well, what hand was it on? Was it his right hand or his left hand where he had that broken or hurt finger? Well, we can't tell from what I told you to do. Why not? Because I didn't tell you to intend that you were looking at this cookie face on. In other words, the cookie's face was looking at your face or back. So you were looking at the back of the cookie's head. We didn't specify with our intent which way that cookie was directed. Were we looking at its back or looking at its front? So we don't know what's right and left, because some of you would naturally assume that you were looking at the front, and some of you would just assume you were looking at the back, and right and left then would switch depending on how you did that. So if you want to know that kind of information, you have to intend the orientation of that cookie, not just that it's there and that it's humanoid, but what is its orientation? Okay, so from what I told you, you wouldn't know. There was no way for us to tell. All right, now.
Out of curiosity, though, which one was it?
Actually, I don't know. I don't know which one it was. That's why I didn't do the orientation. Or I didn't, well, that's not why I didn't do it. I didn't know the orientation of Dan when I looked at it. He didn't tell me. I can find that out and let you know which hand it's on. Maybe Dan's even listening today, and we'll call you up. But Dan is a young man. He's a musician. He lives in Sweden. So it's probably about 10 o'clock at night there for him. And because he's a musician, a hurt finger is serious.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, that is how you diagnose. Now, some of the tricks I played on you, and they weren't really tricks, they were things to help you succeed, was one, I didn't give you a lot of time to let your mind wander. I kept you moving along. Two, I picked a case that would have been hard to guess. Very few people, if they had to guess, they might say upper body, lower body. Well, that covers a lot, you know. But a finger would have been harder to guess. That made it more evidential for those of you that got it. When I told you to visualize the cookie, you might not have known it, but those of you who sat down in a quiet space and closed your eyes and then looked to see that this gingerbread man, that immediately put you into an altered state. In fact, if when you looked at that gingerbread man, and because you didn't have time to think about what you were doing, it probably put you into a very profound altered state, in that I'm guessing that some of you, at least, looking at that gingerbread cookie, forgot all about the rest of your surroundings. It was just you and the shape. And you were so focused and concentrated on the shape and the light and the dark and the things that I was saying that you really weren't aware of what was going on in this physical matter reality around you. Well, what does that mean? That means that you had left the physical. Your attention was no longer centered in physical matter reality. You were outside of your body. You weren't here. You were in another reality frame. Well, see, that's a trick. If I'd have told you that's what was going to happen, most of you would not have been able to do it, because suddenly you would have had belief issues and expectations, and how can this happen if I don't go into meditation? You'd had all the stuff which would have blocked it. But if you just followed the directions, you just looked to see what would happen and just was the observer, your full attention should have been on that cookie, and the rest of the reality around you should have been gone. Okay, so that was another kind of trick I played, by giving you that image to look at and then not giving you time to think about it. So that, that gets us now to the, let's see, we've done that in the healing. All right. Something you can do at home. Now, what have we learned? You've learned that attitude is very, very important. Okay, the attitude that you go in with is very important. You've learned that you can define your own tools, whether it's black on white or white on black, doesn't matter. You realize that you can change dark to light with just your intent, or you can use lasers or torches or anything else you want, and that all those are just tools. There is no light. It's just data. You know, all these tools that we use to help organize information, such as chakras. Okay, chakras are, a lot of people use that system. It's a Hindu system, and it breaks out functions of the non-physical related to the physical. And by breaking them out in that way, it makes it easier to talk about them and easier to understand and easier to work with. But they're not fundamental. It's all just data. Do the Zen Buddhists, see chakras and work with chakras? No. Do the American Indians work with chakras? No. Does that mean that the Hindus are smarter than the Zen Buddhists and the American Indians were? No. It's not fundamental. Chakras are just a way of organizing the data so that you can talk about it and make sense, but it's not fundamental at all. It's just a way of looking at the data. Light workers who use their beams of light to turn those black spots white, are those beams of light real? No, they're not real. There are no beams of light, just like there are no chakras. It's all just data. Those are interpretations. That's the way we interpret and organize the data. That's why it's not important for you to follow any particular regimen or any particular set of tools. Make up your own tool. It's better to get a tool that really helps you focus your intent than try to use somebody else's tool. And your tools don't have to be visual. Visual is very powerful because it contains a lot of information quickly, but they can be feeling tools. You can work with your intuition as well. Okay, you learned that ritual's not important. You didn't have to sit down, cross your legs, take 20 minutes to get into a deep meditative state, because once you focused on this and let the physical reality go to where your whole attention was focused on this humanoid light shape, you basically were in a meditation state. Meditation states, you know, we learn lots of ritual. We sit down and we do various things and we light incense and we watch our breath or we say mantras. We go through all of this ritual, but basically you are consciousness. That's all you are. And it's a matter of just shifting your reality frame, shifting your intent. When you are reading a very good book and you're so absorbed in that book that the rest of the world disappears, you're in an altered state. You're not in this reality anymore. You're in that book reality. But you're not in a reality where you can go traveling around because you're totally focused on what's going on in the book. When you're listening to music and there's nothing in your reality except the sound, all the rest of your environment goes away, you know, you're not in this reality anymore. You're basically out of your body. Well, your body's not in the music. It's your mind. Your mind has gone to another dimension or another reality frame. Now, when you can do that without focused on what's in the book, without focused on the music, but just do that and be aware of it, well, then you can do other things. Then you can travel to these various realms. You can direct what it is you're doing. Now, we did that with the diagnose and healing. We directed your intent. You went into a state where you were without the physical reality, and then you directed what it is you wanted to do. So you've been very successful at doing something that most people have a hard time doing after they try for years and years, and it's because you didn't know that you were doing it. I kind of tricked you that way, snuck up on you, and had you do something without you having to analyze it, without your intellect getting involved. Okay, so attitude is very important. Time is a variable. You can go forward and backward in time because all you're doing is getting data out of a database. You've heard in the metaphysical worlds they talk about the Akashic records. Well, it's just databases. In the My Big Toe books, you will see that there's basically four big databases, and the one we're working with here was the actualized past. In other words, that's the immediate past. And when you say past, you think, oh, that's like a long time ago. Well, no, past means from the last, you know, time increment, which is, you know, billions of billions of billions of a second, you know, from then on back. So that near past is pretty close to the present. The present is just a moment. That's where we have our free will and take our actions. Okay, intent is everything. Okay, your intent needs to be strong and clear. If you went in with a muddled intent and you couldn't quite intend that cookie represented Dan, and you couldn't quite intend that good was the white and the bad was the black, or vice versa, if your intent was kind of feeble and weak and not clear, then you'll get feeble and weak and not clear results. Okay, what you're doing is you're querying a database with your intent. And that database can be queried. You can tell what kind of output you want. Well, here we defined the output. We wanted the output to be white is good tissue and healthy, black is bad tissue and not healthy. That was our output format. We could have had a different output format. You can find out data from these databases and have them graph it for you and look at the graph, you get to determine the output format you want. So we did a humanoid shape, and then we used contrasting colors for our diagnosis. Okay, that is just a matter of intent. That's how we use those databases. There's also a database called the Probable Future Reality. Probable because it's not a done deal. You have free will. You know, things that are going to happen are perhaps very likely to happen, and other things might be unlikely, but you can go into that database as well. Okay, but you must be very specific about your intent, and your intent must be very clear. That's the key. Okay, now that we've done that, and humming right along here, I've got you hopefully not thinking too much. I want to keep you from thinking. Thinking is what prevents you from doing all of this. It's getting your intellect involved, trying to work the process. That's the problem. All right, let's do a little remote viewing. Okay,
okay.
Now, remote viewing, close your eyes again. Okay, let the cookie go. And again, just do it and observe. Just do what I tell you. Don't think about it. Just do it and observe what happens. All right. Now, this one may be a little more difficult for you to do, Nicole, than it will be for everybody else, because I'm going to pick you as the target. So, all of you, just close your eyes, take a deep breath, relax, and just observe. I want you to look at a picture of Nicole Whitney. Okay, look at Nicole. You've all been to her website. You wouldn't be listening to her radio. You know what Nicole looks like. Bring that image up. Intend that image, whatever it is you see, to be Nicole. Okay? Now, imagine that you are standing in front of Nicole. You are about 6 feet away from her. You're standing there. She is talking on the phone. She obviously has a phone, you know, somehow attached to her so that she can talk. She's part of the show. Now, intend that you're standing there in front of her. You're looking at her. You see her talking on the phone, doing this interview. She's sitting. Look around. So now look to your left. Look to your right. And turn all the way around. Just look at where Nicole is. Where is she? Is she in a closet? Is she in an office? Is she in a studio? You know, don't guess. Just look and see what you see. Okay, where she is. We're going to ask her in a minute to describe her surroundings. So don't suddenly now start to say, oh, I got to get it right. I don't want to get it wrong. You know, that's the wrong thing. Just look and observe. Don't worry about right or wrong. Don't second guess. Don't try to think about where you think she should be. Just be there in front of her, look right at her, and then just turn around and see what's in the room, who else is in the room. See if you see other people in the room, and what are they doing? So what's there? Just take a look around. All right, now look back at Nicole. Orient yourself again. Again, you're standing in front of her. Now do it again. Just slowly scan around the room. Okay, I'll give you just a few seconds to do this. Remember what you see. Okay, that's enough time. Now, I want you to rise straight up, just float right up in the air, go right straight up, vertical, about 500 feet, and look down on the rooftop of the building that Nicole's in. Okay, now you're up in the air, you're looking down on the rooftops. Look around her neighborhood. Is it an industrial area, you know? Are cars parked everywhere? Is it residential? What does it look like? Just take a look around her neighborhood. Okay, again, turn around, look all around. Look for major landmarks. You know, is there a river flowing nearby? You know, what's happening right around her neighborhood? All right, take your look. Okay, now go back down, just slide right back and stand in front of Nicole once again. Okay, now some of you are still up there looking around, you know, it's time to get back. Get back in front of Nicole. That's it. All right. Again, you're standing in front of her. You are just a little bit, about 6 feet in front of her. One last time, look around the room. See if it's any different than what you saw before. When you're done looking around the room, walk up to Nicole, give her a big hug. Fill her with your love. What I mean by that is intend for her. Your intent is what moves energy. Intend for her to feel your love. Surround her with white light. And then after you've done that, you've finished looking around the room, you've hugged Nicole, you've surrounded her with white light, then go on back to your body. I give you another 30 seconds or so to do that.